The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. Glad you are with us today. Aaron, you and I talked about this a little bit yesterday.
Yes.
So like everybody, I'm going to say something that I know is going to be horribly unpopular, but that's nothing new for me. So they sent detectives, Washington State Patrol, used various intel and the SWAT team to recover Officer Lexi Harris's personal vehicle that was stolen on I-5.
Correct.
Right?
Yep.
And the person who stole the vehicle was in no way responsible for her death. That was a person who was involved in the accident for which she was stopping.
Indeed.
We had 3,100 cars stolen in our state last year. It was up 14%. And I don't know why we're sending out all of those forces for her car. They don't do that when anybody else's car is stolen. And presumably this person was, I assume, was one of the drivers in the crash and was under the influence and didn't want to be tested right away. And but beyond that, I don't understand the overwhelming show of manpower to get this done. And I know we talked about it yesterday. Have you heard? I mean, and like I said, I know everybody loves this officer and everybody is repulsed that somebody would steal her car.
Right.
But I'm repulsed by everybody who's, you know, every car thief. And we had 3,100 of them last year.
Sure. And I will just add one more note, Dory, and this is off the record right now. So we're not going to name the suspect's name or anything like that. But we are hearing that the person involved in this car theft does have a long rap sheet. Now, of course, that, you know, that doesn't mean that we knew that ahead of this whole big investigation. But, you know, it's a good thing that the person is caught. I hear where you're coming from right now. But I would think that, you know, this, as the police mentioned in that Sunday news conference, this was high priority for them, specifically because it was a police officer.
Yep.
Now, should other car theft victims be treated, you know, with that same level of urgency? Yeah, probably, sure. But, you know, they're going to do all they can to help out a fallen officer, of course.
Yeah. No, I understand. And their family. I would understand it more if that guy was somehow responsible for her death.
Right, right.
And, you know, you could argue that if he caused the accident that, you know, and if he was under the influence, which they're not going to be able to prove now because he's been on the lam for 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
So the blood alcohol reading's not going to be valid for him now. So I guess you could make the case that if he was under the influence, got in an accident, if it was a felonious DUI, and very rarely does that rise to the level of felony unless you have several priors. Then what happens in the aftermath of that crime can be attached to the original crime. So we'll, I guess we'll find out when we get more details. Aaron, I appreciate it.
Thank you. Yeah, you got it. Yep.
Okay. I'm curious what you think. I am. I'm repulsed that somebody would be so soulless as to steal this officer's personal vehicle. But the overwhelming show of force, because she was a cop, you know, and they say he has a long, long, long rap sheet. Well, I bet the other 3,100 car thieves in our state last year, I bet most of them had really long rap sheets. And if we could find them, maybe we could put them away for a long time. It just seems disparate to me to send out state patrol and detectives and the SWAT team and all of this force to recover a stolen vehicle when that doesn't happen for any of the rest of us. And that's coming from somebody who loves and honors cops. But I don't understand why they would make this massive movement for her stolen car when the rest of ours, they just say, yeah, file a report. File a report. We'll put it in the database. Watch for the license plate. All right. With that as mere prelude, let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
Whew. The gun violence is just unbelievable. Coming up at 12:30, I'm going to talk to a woman who was driving in the Rainier Beach neighborhood and was shot 5 times by a passerby car. She says that it was probably mistaken identity. You can be the judge after we talk to her at 12:30 this afternoon. But that's just one example of so many. Last night in Burien, a man was shot and killed. That man had a two-year-old in the car with him. Imagine what kind of trauma that's going to inflict on and that this kid's going to carry around for the rest of his life. 2 years old, you've got some awareness of what's going on. The gunfire kills a man in Burien last night. This morning, Kent, 9:30 this morning, road rage incident between two SUVs. A 20-year-old shot in critical condition. We told you about what happened over the weekend when you had a shooting at Shilshol. You had four shot, two killed in White Center. Death shooting in Pioneer Square. On and on and on it goes. And so, finally, our politicians are going to do something about it. So, Dow Constantine, who I usually don't support, Dow Constantine says that he now has a plan to deal with the gun violence throughout our county, throughout our region. And I have the details and audio that I haven't had a chance to listen to yet. But I'm hoping that it involves the things that have been proven to work. Stop and frisk. Maybe call out Jay Inslee for releasing hundreds of felons with gun felonies from our prisons. They're putting the governor's putting these guys back on the streets. I'm hoping that Dow Constantine's going to say that that we need more jails and we need to lock up the criminals. So let's see. I got this off of Como News, comonews.com. Stop and frisk, more jail time, rebuke the governor for releasing gun felons. Let's see if that's part of the plan.
New tonight, the King County executive made an emergency proposal to prevent gun violence after a series of deadly shootings in the last week. Two people were killed and two others injured in White Center on Friday. A man was shot and killed in Seattle Central District on Thursday, and a man was gunned down in Pioneer Square on Saturday. The emergency budget would invest close to $1.5 million.
$1.5 million. Okay. All right. Now I'm starting to get encouraged. Maybe we can get our heads around this horrible problem. $1.5 million. Where are we going to spend? I'm going to have more jails. What are we going to do here?
For more case managers and life coaches to build relationships in communities, including White Center, Kent, and Burien.
What? We're going to get some life coaches? That's the solution to the gun violence? I'm sorry to laugh. Life coaches? All right, guys. Okay. Too many murders last night. If you murder anybody today, you're going to have to run an extra set of lines. Life coaches? That's our money. We're gonna hire life coaches. Well, oh man, forget about those bulletproof vests. We're gonna be able to walk around in the safest county in the nation once we hire some life coaches. In fact, I've never been prouder to be a King County-ism-ite. I don't know what I am. I've never been prouder. We're going to get some life coaches out there. Well, here's King County Councilman Joe McDermott, who introduced Dow Constantine's plan.
We've already dedicated resources to this and made investments. This is expanding it.
Okay. Oh, we're expanding what you've already done. Well, wait a second. That means that what you've already done is working, and now you're going to make it work better, but what you've already been doing has been disastrous. So you're going to add money to a disaster. Okay. All right. I'm with you. I am absolutely down with this. And a resident said, hey, councilman,
I don't really think money is going to solve it.
Well, you did. She probably didn't know that they were going to hire some life coaches. I mean, I would also think that maybe money wouldn't solve things, but that's only if you were going to lock up criminals. But we're going to coach them up. Joe McDermott.
Money isn't going to solve the problem. It's relationships and building community, breaking those cycles of violence.
Oh, yes. You know, the progressive way. And the progressive way, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, but the progressive way has led to more gun violence than ever in our, we're on our way to all-time highs. And I know you're thinking, and this is because you're cynical. You're not as open-minded as me. I'm excited about the life coaches that my tax dollars are going to buy. But you being the cynical person you are, and I know you're cynical. You listen to this show, for crying out loud. You're saying, but how? How is that going to work? Hey, Joe, how is that going to work?
Success would be reaching out, engaging with people, having them recognize contacts and what's going on in their life that leads them into situations that promote gun violence, and giving them the ability, the skills, the resources to defuse that.
Oh, defuse things. Okay. I might have handled this a different way. I know I said I support the life coaches, but I'm just brainstorming here of maybe better way. Like I said, all the things I said at the beginning. How about locking up criminals? How about when you have felons with gun crimes in prison that your governor doesn't release them back out on the streets? I know that's a wacky idea. But Jay Inslee tells us we need tougher gun laws so they can lock up more people that they will then release out of their progressive compassion. Stop and frisk worked wonderfully well in New York City when gun violence was absolutely out of control back in the 90s. And then they did stop and frisk, and they were able to remove guns from criminals who weren't allowed to have them. That works. Locking up criminals works. Here's what doesn't work. Making your county all drugs legal. That doesn't work. We're seeing that. All the heroin, all the meth, all the homelessness, all of the crime. And I'm not just talking the crime committed by the junkies. I'm talking about the drug dealer crime. And I had Homeland Security on this show about 3 weeks ago. And they told me how our porous southern border, the progressive attitude to not having borders for our country anymore, that we're letting in a lot of people, including dangerous criminals, including drug runners. They are importing more fentanyl, the deadly additive to the pills that they are selling. They have these pill stamping machines that make them look like legit pharmaceuticals. You've got the gangs that are pushing the drugs out on the street. So you have the cartels getting the drugs into the country. They move up I-5 to the most drug-friendly county in the country. And then the gangs get the drugs from the cartels. The gangs have wars. And most of the shootings in King County have been young black men who have been gang-affiliated. And that's not just me saying that. I mean, everybody acknowledges that that is where the problem is. In Casey McNerney with the prosecutor's office in that Como News piece, comonews.com.
Our crime strategies unit takes a look to see exactly where these shootings are happening. And the more data we have at the prosecutor's office, the more we can try to work with those community groups to try to address these concerns before they become bigger problems.
During the first quarter of this year, 69 people were shot in King County. The county says the vast majority of those victims are young men and people of color.
Yes, that's because these are gang shootings, because gangs are moving drugs. They're fighting for drug turf. They have so many customers because we've legalized all drugs in King County. And they think a life coach is going to turn this around. You must be kidding me that they're going to spend $1.5 million to hire, they said, 15 new life coaches. That's a good gig. $100,000 each. Well, it might not be quite that much because it's also going to pay for some studies. And they said, well, we've already been doing this. We're going to expand it. Yeah, it's worked horribly. You haven't done anything except see the problem deepen on your watch. This is a progressive, far left, liberal, soft on crime problem. People are getting shot. People are dying. Drugs are flying. And you're going to hire some life coaches. In all seriousness, for a change, as opposed to a few minutes ago, in all seriousness, in a region with politicians who do unfathomably stupid things all the time, thinking that they are going to stop the shootings and the murders and the drug war and the drug running with life coaches, is the new leader in the clubhouse for the stupidest political mandate I have ever heard in my entire life. And that is your big lead for today.
The big lead on Cairo Radio.
Life coaches. Unbelievable. Okay, we're going to check the news for you. And then I'm going to talk to a woman who is a victim of one of these shootings just a few weeks ago. And we'll hear her experience coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show. Well, as we've been talking about, there has been just an incredible number of shootings in our region this week. Adding to the toll, just last night in Burien, a man was shot in his car with a two-year-old riding alongside of him. And last week, it was one of the random victims is a woman named Kira Gaines, who joins us here in the Dory Monson Show. Hey, Kira, thanks for coming on with me today.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. I know that you're not doing that well. Tell me and my listeners, what happened to you back on May 26th?
So on May 26th, I had just picked my cousin up from Dollar Tree in Renton, and he works at Dollar Tree. I picked him up. He was going to come spend the night at my house. I had my other cousin in the car with me. I was going to drop her off. She lives in downtown Seattle area.
Okay.
So was going to take her home. On our way to the going towards the freeway to get home, a car pulled on the side of me and start letting off fire and hit me 5 times in my legs and hit my cousin once in her leg.
Your one cousin that you picked up at Dollar Tree, is that the one who was also hit?
No, he wasn't hit. He was just in the back seat.
Okay.
Of my cousin. It was in my cousin in the front seat.
Okay. Okay, I gotcha. And so I know this is in the Rainier Beach neighborhood. Was your car targeted because of your relatives?
No, my cousins actually that was riding with me, they don't be in the Rainier Beach neighborhood. And one is from California. The one that has got shot with me, she is from California. She just moved up here. She doesn't even know anybody up here but
okay.
Our family. I believe my car was mistakenly identified from somebody else's car because we're totally not in the streets harming anybody, doing any harm. We're not a part of no gangs or affiliated with nobody that's part of gangs. So,
right.
Like, it's kind of like, it was really a shocking to me. I'm scared.
Well, I can imagine. This sounds like an intended gang hit, but you're telling me that if it was, they had the wrong vehicle.
Definitely.
So you were hit 5 times in the leg, is that right?
Yes, sir.
If you were driving, what was the angle of the shooter? Did the bullets come through the car door or...
From what I was told by one of my cousins, they got a kind of like a glimpse of, I guess, because see, when I was getting shot at, I didn't know we was getting shot at because I had subwoofers in my car. So my music was up and I'm not paying attention thinking somebody's going to pull to the side of me, behind me, or anything to harm me or my car or anybody in my car. So when we was getting shot at, we didn't hear the gunfire until it hit my window shield, and my window shield got shattered. And that's what I just pulled off. And my cousin started saying she was hitting her stomach. And at this point, I looked down and I see that my legs are all bloody, but I can't panic because I have to get us to safety.
Yeah.
I'm driving. Yeah. So I have to get us to safety. I got two other hands, lives in my hand at this point. So I'm trying to stay calm and get us somewhere, get us to a hospital, which there was no hospital around us that I felt like I could make it to. So the where I made it to was the Chevron on East Marginal Way.
Okay.
Get there, and then I see the police driving the other way towards where I had got shot at, towards the crime scene. When I seen them, I pulled out of Chevron and flagged the police down. And
okay.
That's
and they were on their way there because they had heard the reports of gunfire,
yeah,
I understand.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because my cousin in the back seat had called 911 and asked that them to have the ambulance meet us at the Chevron. So I was scared to stop because I didn't know if it was being followed or what was going on. I was scared to stop.
Yeah.
Without, I wanted to get somewhere where there's people at and where we could get help.
This is a really dumb question, but I've never been shot. What goes through your mind when you've been shot five times like that?
I didn't know I was shot five times at that point in time, but what was going through my mind was really scary. I was scared. I was trying to stay calm. I felt like I was ready to faint, but my cousin had me so scared that she was saying she was hitting her stomach and she felt like she was bleeding out. She was about to pass out. I was just trying to get us help.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I had to keep a calm head at that point in time. It was very scary. It was traumatizing. I'm still traumatized. I'm scared to go certain places. I'm scared to get in the car. I'm scared to drive. Like, this is really life-changing for me, my kids, my whole entire family right now.
We've had about 75 people shot in King County just since the first of the year. You and your cousin are two of those 75. What do you make of these numbers? Because most of them have been gang shootings. Most of them have been, you know, you're in the Rainier Beach neighborhood. Most of them have been in the South End. I understand why you'd be afraid to drive around there after the stats that are coming down. This is really scary.
And it's crazy because I have family that live in South Seattle area, and like my uncle just passed away and I couldn't even get to over there to visit my auntie because I'm scared to go over there. I'm scared to leave my mom's house. I don't want to go nowhere. I don't know who shot me. I couldn't even tell you a car description because it happened so fast that I don't even know what angle I know they shot up my driver's side, but I don't know if they was going towards north. I don't know if they was going south, west, or east. I don't
right.
know.
Okay.
And I know it's just, I'm just so tired of senseless shootings, these young babies getting shot, these women. Like, we don't deserve this. I just really pray the police get a hold of these things.
What do you make of, I mean, everybody on the Seattle City Council wants to defund the police. What do you make of that?
I don't think the police need to be defunded. There's too many crime right now. It's too much crime to defund the police. Defund the police, the crime rate's going to go higher, and things is going to just get worse.
See, that I've heard that from so many people, Kira, that it's particularly in the black neighborhoods where there are a lot of gangbangers running around, that those neighborhoods are the last ones to want the police defunded. And yet the Seattle City Council, they seem like they're doing something really progressive when they say they want to defund the police, which means these criminals are just going to get away with this stuff more and more.
Right. Yeah, I definitely don't feel like the Seattle police should be defunded whatsoever. I definitely feel like I actually feel like it should be patrolled more. Yes. Where these crimes is happening. Maybe suspects won't get far away. And I mean, like with my situation, I felt like with the police was patrolling the area more, like maybe, you know, my suspect could have got caught or things would have been a little different.
Okay, and you have three kids yourself, is that right?
I have a 13-year-old, I have a 7-year-old, and a 3-year-old.
You must be scared to death for them.
Yes, and so crazy is the grace of God that I was going to go pick my kids up that night because they was at my mom's house. And my mom just happened to call me and told me she was going to keep them one more night. And
or else they would have been in the car with
them. About 30 minutes later, I was shot.
I'm sorry this happened to you. I know that you've started a GoFundMe with your name, Keira, K-E-A-I-R-A, Gaines, if anybody wants to help out your family. Keira, I'm sorry for what you've gone through. I'm sorry for all the gun violence that's tearing apart our region, and I hope that we can get these messages out that defunding the police right now is absolutely the wrong thing to do.
Absolutely. Definitely okay. The wrong thing to do right now.
All right. All my best to you. I hope your recovery is swift, Keira.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
All right. God bless you.
God bless you, too.
All right. Keira Gaines shot 5 times. She says it was random, that it was a mistaken identity. But she also says there's a reason why we should not defund the police. Your thoughts, you can text me at 98973. That's 98973. Lots more to come here on the Dory Monson Show. I said at the beginning of the show that my off-the-cuff comments about the massive effort to find Officer Lexi Harris's car thief, that it seemed disparate to me compared to all the other car thieves who are out there. And it was unpopular. I'm checking your text messages. And a lot of you made really, really great points. And I really appreciate it. You know, people said, you know, consider, what if her service weapon was in that car? What if her badge was in that car? They recovered the car, by the way, 2 or 3 nights ago. It was the car thief that they were looking for. But a lot of people brought up the possibility that he may have, you know, gotten some things that the officer had in her vehicle that'd be really dangerous. And if this was a long rap sheet felon, everybody sounds very grateful that they made the massive effort. And I'm pretty confident of my positions on most things, but you guys straightened me out on that one. So I hear you loud and clear, and I appreciate all the feedback. I really do. A couple other things here. I got an email from a listener, and, you know, we hear about everything that's wrong in the schools, critical race theory and the school in Shoreline where they had the kids walk around the flagpole with little mini pride flags, but they wouldn't do that on Monday for Flag Day for the U.S. flag. And you start to get discouraged when you hear about all the nonsense. I'm going to tell you coming up, too, about a sex ed flyer in a middle school that is going to, you're just not going to be able to believe this. But a listener wrote to me and said, Dory, I was driving to pick up my wife up from work yesterday afternoon, and he sent this to me yesterday, and saw something I had not seen in a long time. As I passed Ridgetop Junior High in Silverdale, I noticed the school had lined the grass along the road in front of the school with mini American flags. It was great to see a school making an effort to honor Flag Day. And I thought, that's wonderful. But it's also, how sad is it that that stands out now amidst all of the hate America garbage and all of the other stuff, the brainwashing that's being imposed on our kids? It's sad to me that, you know, a school honoring the U.S. flag on Flag Day is, you know, stands out as a notable thing. But then I went to, it's actually now Ridgetop Middle School, and I went to their webpage, and right on the front of it was a picture of all the kids sitting in the auditorium or in the gym, it looked like, and every kid in the front row was holding an American flag. I thought, God bless these people, that when our schools have so much been taken over by radical forces, especially in our part of the world, that and I know that there are other schools that have not gone off the deep end, but hey, Ridgetop Middle School, Silverdale, well done, gang. And I assume that that's maybe partly or in large part because of their proximity to Bangor. Military families are very patriotic. And I'll tell you, when I was coaching high school basketball, I hated the bus ride. Every other year we would play at Oak Harbor. And I hated the bus ride because I'm just not built to ride on a school bus anymore. It's about a two-hour ride up there across Deception Pass. But then every time I would get to Oak Harbor, and it's tough to build a program because the families are so transient and you don't have kids who are together from, you know, elementary or middle school and playing together. So, you know, they often had some troubles in the sports. But the one thing that always stood out is they had this gigantic American flag that they would roll down right above midcourt when they would do the Star Spangled Banner. And just seeing the respect, man, I talked to my girls too. And I said, you know, I want you to always respect the flag and not move before the end of the anthem. But, you know, at Oak Harbor, this is where, you know, people take this really seriously because of the all the military families up there. So I love the schools that still do that. And especially when I have audio like this. At the University of Texas, Campus Reform went to the school and talked to kids about how much they despise the American flag.
When you see an American flag, what is the first thing that comes to mind?
I guess recently a couple of negative connotations. Nationalism in a negative type of light. And maybe some exclusiveness and some selfishness?
A lot of things come to mind. First of all, war. Second of all, let me see. Well, we've also taken a bit of land from Native Americans. That's unfortunate, too. And a lot, and it's just really terrible that we've done all these things. And this flag kind of reminds me of that, of all the sins we've committed against others.
It's just a flag, so I don't have tons of, you know, thoughts.
A symbol of a place to be and not something to really love and cherish with your whole heart, because that leads to a lot of blindness, I think, in my opinion. It's there.
Talk about blind, man. None of these kids can see. Now think about war. We've had a long stretch of peace in that guy's lifetime. Didn't start any wars in the last 4 years. For the first time in decades. But just such ignorance. These kids at the middle school in Silverdale, I hope their mind doesn't get polluted. But that's what the public schools pump into kids' heads, and then they become little drone college students. And our Fast 15 is coming up next.